Well, here in Los Angeles, Ukraine is on people's minds. So is Flight 370. But so are some things that are happening right here in Southern California. There was a moderate earthquake this week, 4.4 on the Richter scale. There is a big drought going on. The film industry that has defined this area is being lured away by other states. And we're going to talk about a lot of that now with the mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti. Mayor Garcetti, welcome back to Here and Now.
Great to have you in L.A.
Well, we had you on the show the very first day that you were in office and our first day on the air. What has been the toughest challenge for you so far?
So I really didn't know what I was talking about that first day.
you were pretty good on the first day.
No, lucky I'd been here for 12 years. But as a mayor, it's a totally different job. I have been so surprised by just the raw ingredients that are out here in Los Angeles and how strong they are. Not just the weather that you're experiencing, the geography, kind of the intersection between Latin America, the Pacific Rim, and the United States, but also just some of the human capital, three top 25 universities that really the city of Los Angeles and our government had never reached out to. Looking at the number of engineers we graduate, the tech firms, one every 40 hours that we're creating out here, there's kind of a rebirth of the city, and it's a very exciting time because it's like having some clay in your hands and saying, we can create the sort of city we want. We don't have to be the traffic capital of the country. We don't have to be a place that's just about low-wage jobs. And we can redefine what not just Los Angeles, but I think a great American city looks like. And to me, that's been the big surprise, just how wide open that field is, waiting for somebody to come and to lead and to bring people together.
But what's been the toughest thing you've had to deal with?
I think the toughest thing I had to deal with early on was, it was a couple of days after we talked, was the first tough contract with our Department of Water and Power workers. Sat down with that union. There's a lot of pressure to pass a contract early on, and the campaign had really been about restoring pride in that entity and restoring some sort of accountability. We were able to hold the line in the first couple of weeks when people are testing your mettle. Are you going to be able to push forward? And we got a great contract working together with that union that's no raises for 3 years for the first time in 20 years, controlling costs and pensions. You know, those moments, they come quick. Everybody's watching. If you don't do them right, they'll kind of walk all over you for the rest of your term. But we were able to do it in a tough, responsible, and fair way.
As you've watched from afar what has happened in Detroit, as it's tried to get itself back to financial health and has had to break a lot of promises that it made to city workers, do you see that as something that cities around the country are going to have to deal with, or is that more the exception than the rule?
It's definitely an exception in terms of the scale, but I think it will be more of the rule, especially for cities that ignored the writing on the wall over the past 5 years. And as the economy recovers, the pressure will seem less. I'm very glad that Los Angeles, we actually did face the music. We did the biggest package of pension reform in the midst of the recession, and credit to our workers and our city unions for coming to the table and figuring out a way that was better for their own members and their future members than burying our heads in the sand and pretending it didn't exist. That said, we're not out of the woods even in Los Angeles, but it's a fundamentally different picture than places like Detroit. Our population is growing here. More people visited here than last year and ever. More people are studying here than we've ever had. So by those metrics, LA is still a place that business, people, students, and investment wants to come. Our challenge is going to be just continuing to control those costs so we can deliver a good level of city services.
I want to ask you about immigration reform, because it appears that that is not going anywhere this year in Washington. You have called on President Obama to cut down on deportations. A number of people have asked him to start doing that. Tell us what you want him to do and why.
Well, I'm still optimistic that we actually can get immigration reform this year. I don't think it'll happen before the primaries, but either in the lame duck session or after the primaries and between the primaries and the general. There's a lot of Republicans who favor this, want to vote for it, and enough Democrats as well to pass it. So I don't close that door. In the meantime, we're working very closely with the Obama administration on helping those kids that are here through deferred action to actually get legal status. And my only point with Secretary Johnson, who visited here, new Homeland Security Secretary, and also in my conversations with the president, I've been very consistent that the level of deportations for things that aren't serious crime have gone up to record levels. Let's spend that money instead in taking the 2 million people who qualify today for citizenship, who are here legally with papers, and turn them into citizens.
What do you make of the nickname that some immigration activists have given the president, which would be Deporter-in-Chief?
Oh, I don't use that term very close with the president. He has fought an incredible fight to bring immigration reform back to the agenda and deserves tremendous credit for that. I think he's been the advocate we've been waiting for a long time. So he's our advocate in chief. I think there's changes you can always make in the implementation of policies, including deportation. But this is the president we've been waiting for a long time.
Well, why do you think that immigration reform didn't happen this year?
I think the Republican leadership so far has refused to put a vote forward. I think for the primaries, those who are getting attacked from the right don't want to vote on it, and those who genuinely aren't for it don't want to vote for it. So there was a kind of a marriage of convenience at this exact moment where the Republican leadership didn't want to daylight a vote that they knew would pass. So I'm hopeful that the pressure will be off politically later this year and people will allow the Chamber of Commerce, the evangelical community, the immigrant rights community, all of these folks, labor, who often aren't with each other, to have their day, to be able to be represented in Congress. Those are traditionally Republican groups in some cases. We deserve a vote on this. I hope the Republican leadership will allow it.
We're speaking with Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti. A lot more to get to. We will continue our conversation in a moment. Here and now.
It's Here and Now. And if you just joined us, Jeremy is in Southern California at NPR West. He's been talking with LA Mayor Eric Garcetti. Let's get back to that.
Mayor Garcetti, one of the issues that you have focused on since you've been mayor is trying to keep Hollywood, if you will, in Hollywood. And I wonder how worried you are that filmmakers are moving to other states. They're going to places where they can get these tax incentives to do their work.
Well, production isn't running away. It has run away already. And that's very troubling for an industry that was born here, that's still our signature industry in many ways. But I'm quite optimistic that we've changed the debate here in California, that people realize that by expanding our tax credits, which pay themselves back, by the way, in the way that they're designed here, so we don't take that money out of schools or roads or cops, that if we just grow the pool available to be reimbursed, like New York has done, like other places have done, people will realize LA and California are still overwhelmingly the best places to find talent, good weather, experience, that the best shoots will continue to happen here. So by appointing a film czar for the first time from the city of LA, we have decided that this is a fight we have to be in the middle of. We can't just rely on history to assume people will continue to film here. And those great middle-class jobs, our export to the world, our signature industry, should be able to grow here in the coming years if we get that through.
Does that mean offering the same kinds of tax incentives that people can get other places?
No, we don't need to be as cheap as other places because our talent is better, our weather is better, our experience is better, our infrastructure is stronger. We already have a well-designed tax credit in the state, which is a 20% credit, which is lower than other states. But every producer I've talked to said, if there were just more of that 20% available, I would film in LA. I would film in California. So we're going to try to convince the state legislature and Governor Brown to sign an expansion of those tax credits to a higher level and bring those productions home.
You've brought up the weather many times, and I don't think anybody would argue that LA has fantastic weather. However, you are right now in the middle of a serious drought. How worried are you right now? I know there has been rain in recent weeks, but how would you assess the state of the drought at the moment?
For the city of Los Angeles, I'm very focused but not worried. I'll tell you why. I'm focused because if this goes on, we're going to have to continue to apply new policies, water rationing, changing our landscaping, doing things that will preserve water. But I'm not worried right now because Los Angeles has done a really good job preparing for this. We consume the same amount of water today that we did 30 years ago with a million more residents, primarily because of low-flow toilets, aerators on our faucets, things that right now the city of LA will pay LA residents to change out. We pay people to actually take their grass up from their lawns and put in more California-tolerant plants. Those things, including trying to recycle our water, the water that we wash out to the ocean every single day, putting that back into our aquifers and our wells, is where I'm focused because we've got to end our dependence on what I call foreign water from the city of Los Angeles. If we do those things, we can weather even this tough, tough drought. We've shown the ability to do it before, and we're creating a lot of green jobs. People from around the world are coming to see how LA has been able to manage this so well. State of California, other parts, it's going to be much tougher, but LA is in a good position.
When we interviewed Governor Brown yesterday, he talked about this very thing, about whether people should have lawns in front and back of their yards, and that perhaps people in Southern California especially ought to think about putting in cacti rather than having front yards. Would you say it's a good idea for your residents to stop having lawns that they have to water?
Well, absolutely. I mean, where the Yves lawns that you play on and use a lot, you know, go for it. But most of those lawns just sit empty. And there's great landscaping that's somewhere between a cactus and a lawn that's beautiful, that has succulents, that bloom, that have flowers, that looks gorgeous in a home. And I think working with a lot of people have realized they can make their homes look even more attractive than they are today and cut down their water bills and help us long term.
Is drought the number one concern of yours when it comes to climate change and its effect on Los Angeles?
Absolutely. I serve on President Obama's climate change task force. Governor Brown and I hosted the second meeting of that out in Los Angeles. And that's really what we're feeling the effects of, and how the drought continues to be the result of changed ocean temperatures, we think. And that's probably, you know, something that regardless of it's coming from climate change or not, is going to be with us for the next coming years. We need to change our relationship with water. About half the water we have, we waste and we wash out to the ocean. So this isn't a problem of population overgrowth, not having enough water. It's how we treat our water and how we waste it.
What city do you look to for ideas?
You know, I look all over the place. I looked at Denver and, you know, when Governor, then Mayor Hickenlooper was there, there's great stuff. I looked to New York City under Mayor Bloomberg and talked to my friend Bill de Blasio. I've brought together 16 mayors who were elected last year from Boston, looking at Minnesota and Minneapolis, Pittsburgh. There's a whole new generation, Mayor Fullup in Jersey City, of us that are talking to each other. I've always said mayors are great thieves. We hear a good idea one place and we want to steal it for our city. I'm on the phone with international mayors too, like Mayor Pace in Buenos Aires, who heads up the C40, which is the group of cities committing to reduce our global greenhouse gases and reducing the impact of climate change. And I really think mayors are getting the job done worldwide. Cities are the place of innovation. There's a great book out called What If Mayors Ruled the World? Hmm. And besides it being self-serving, it's a great book that I have on my bedside because it really shows how the national level of politics is broken, not just in the United States, but many places. And people are looking to mayors as executives who deal with problems and get things done.
Did you see the movie Her?
I have not yet seen Her.
But you know that it portrays Los Angeles using images of Shanghai.
Absolutely.
So that's my question. Is that what LA of the future is going to look like? Do you think skyscrapers, public transit, very dense?
I don't think it'll be ever very dense like that. But a lot of people don't realize we're already the densest metropolitan area in the United States. We just smash it down instead of build it up. I think increasingly you will have some more vertical buildings because it's actually provides more open spaces and view corridors. But LA is changing its narrative. I think we will be a place of public transportation. We have the biggest public transit infrastructure construction project in this country. I'm bringing rail to the airport for the first time and we're rebuilding our airport. So a lot of the cliches about LA 20 years from now will be very different. It'll still be the most creative spot on the face of the earth, the place with the best weather in the world. But the city itself, I think, will function a lot better than it has when people saw earthquakes, traffic, and riots in the 80s and 90s. We're really poised for great things.
All right, one more question before I let you go. And you can make some news here if you want. But in 2018, looking forward, you're going to have two opportunities. You could either run for governor of California or you could run for the Senate in California. Which of those jobs would you rather have?
Well, you know, President Clinton once said the two best jobs in politics are president of the United States and mayor of a big city. I can't imagine a better job than the one that I have right now. I never look a step ahead. I've been here for 9 months, and I want to do some big things here before I even think about that. California is an amazing state, and I love it. I love being a chief executive, but I'm very focused on doing that here in L.A. Let's rebuild a big city and take it from there.
Let the record show that I didn't actually expect you to answer that question.
But I wasn't being coy. It was honest. I love this job, and I can't imagine a better one.
Eric Garcetti, mayor of the great city of Los Angeles, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And I have to say, as I've been driving around Los Angeles, Robin, there are a lot more developments, a lot of new condo buildings going up, even since I lived here, which was just a few years ago, a lot of mm-hmm. development. We also heard the mayor talk about the city he looks to for ideas as Denver. That is the same answer that the mayor of Phoenix, Greg Stanton, gave us when we talked to him.
We've done some stories on that. Denver Water, for instance, the utility, they are considered leaders in looking into incorporating climate change into their planning. They work with climate scientists, something you'd think would be done around the country, but apparently Denver's a real leader there.
Well, listeners at Colorado Public Radio, do you agree with that Denver is a model? Let us know at hereandnow.org. This is Here and Now.